Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today I'm speaking with Robin Marvel. Robin is a multi-published author and speaker in the field of self-development. After enduring a childhood filled with abuse, homelessness, and teen pregnancy, Robin chose to overcome these challenges to create a life of purpose and passion, and she's devoted her life to showing others how to do the same. Using her story, books, and workshops as tools, she is inspiring others to break negative cycles and choose to live the life they desire and deserve. I am so happy that Robin took the time to chat with me today, so let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Robin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So, you know, my guests and I talk a lot on the show about the fact that you can't always choose what happens to you, but you can always choose how you respond. And when I heard, you know, your story and about your childhood and the things that you went through growing up, it really became clear to me that you're living that sentiment. So why don't we just start off today and give listeners a sense of the type of environment that you were raised in and some of the obstacles that you've, you know, overcome.
Okay, sounds great. I had a really turbulent childhood. There was a lot of domestic abuse, a lot of homelessness. I mean, we lived in my mom's station wagon on the river for like half of my third grade school year.
Oh, wow.
Other than that, we lived on a lot of campsites and things like that. There was also a lot of drug abuse. It was no big deal to walk into my living room coming home from school and seeing lines of coke, you know, and piles of weed. That was totally a normal thing. And as I continued, this really gave me, I watched my mom getting abused by so many men and have such a lack of self-worth that growing up, I grew up like that. And so when I was about 15, I started drinking and partying and hardcore. Like I was really, it was the attention I was seeking, you know, I was like fitting in, even though it's in a negative sense, it still made me feel like I was finding that acceptance and love that I craved.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up sexually assaulted by a male friend when I was 16.
Wow.
And that for some reason wasn't enough of a wake-up call for me, and we had to go, I don't know why, but
yeah.
We went through his trial and everything, and it was in a small town, and I mean, there's like maybe 1,000 people in the town, so it was a really, really hard thing to go through.
Wow.
And, you know, everyone knows everybody, a lot of talk, a lot of stress and drama through that, and being a kid, that was just like added to the stress of it. And anyways, after that, I ended up getting pregnant when I was 16 years old and had my first daughter when I was 17.
Wow.
And that was kind of a turning moment for me in my life because I said, you know, this baby is not going to be a statistic and she's not going to grow up and struggle and I'm going to work my butt off to make sure that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had her August 20th of 1996 and I ended up going to school August 24th and did my senior year of high school.
Wow.
And it wasn't pleasant. Believe me, the teachers, the other students, the parents of the other students were so rude and so mean. And I just, you know, they tried to push me to alternative ed and other avenues. And I said, no, I'm walking that stage. I'm going to graduate. And I did, which was really cool. And so I ended up going to a couple years of college and decided that wasn't the path I wanted to take. So I was working. And, you know, when I got about 23, I kind of lost control of my life again, and I started drinking really heavily every single night. I was not being a good mother. I was not being a good wife. I was pretty much out of control in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I mean, it's clear as yesterday, sitting in my living room in my house and looking around and going, all right, Robin, you have to make a decision. This is not how my story is going to end, and you've got to step up. And I haven't drank since then. That was the day that I said, you know what? I'm going to live a different way. And so I made that choice, and that's what shifted my life and started me moving towards motivation and purposeful life.
that's an amazing story. And just, I mean, some of the things that you were sharing, and definitely thank you for sharing that with listeners. It's things that would just derail most people, and most people would use it as an excuse. Like, well, this is my childhood. Of course, I'm going to be living this sort of dysfunctional life because this is how I was raised. So it really strikes me that you made that commitment to change first after you had your first child, and then you backslid, as people often do, several years later, but then you made then a solid commitment that sounds like it stuck. So kind of what's the, for somebody that's in a situation, you know, haven't had the best childhood, has carried a lot of baggage with them into childhood and wants to change, what's the first step that somebody can take? I mean, commitment or what?
Well, it really is. You have to decide. Like I tell people, we can sit around and talk until we're blue in the face. I mean, how many times have you talked to someone and they're like, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm sick of my life, so I'm going to do this. But then they never make that solid decision to say, you know what, I'm going to change, and these are the steps I'm going to take. And if I fall back, I'm going to get back up. And like you had mentioned the word commitment, and I cannot tell you how important that also is to change in your life. You know, you have to decide, commit, and follow through, because this is not like it was a flip of a switch that day and I was like, okay, my life's perfect and wonderful and nothing's, you know, I haven't experienced any negative situations since then. Mm-hmm. But the difference is that I'm committed to living the way that I want to live. Mm-hmm. I want to live positively. So I've made that choice and I've made that decision. And no matter what I face, I embrace that part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so you really have to want it. I mean, we can't change if we don't want it, no matter how much someone tells us how great it is or anything. We just really, I can speak from experience because my mom, she is that person who says, I'm sick of my life, I don't like my life, and you know, goes on and on, I'm a victim, mm-hmm. and then I don't want to be like that, but yet she's not willing to make the decision and the commitment to change that within herself. And I've given her my books, I've taken her to all my workshops, I've tried to include her and encourage her, but you know, if she doesn't want that, then I can't make her change. You can't change somebody.
No, absolutely not. And that's a very important message for everybody, that you can only change yourself. You can't change other people. And you mentioned the word victim. And is that part of it? Is it a need to lose that victim mentality and decide that you are going to make the best of your circumstances and empower yourself to make positive choices in the future? So letting go of that victim mentality, is that a step?
Well, it really is, because you have to take personal responsibility for your life. You know, I talk about this a lot in my book that you and I were talking about, how we, because we had a rough childhood, we think that becomes our excuse. And I mean, how many times I don't know if you've ever seen that show Intervention,
mm-mm.
where every person on there is, oh, something happened to me here. My mom didn't love me. I was sexually abused. Right. This happened. And so then society comes back in and they go, oh, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You were abused as a child. Oh, you should be an alcoholic and you shouldn't be productive
right.
because, you know, and how many times have we done that ourselves, caught ourselves where somebody we know is like acting out in a negative way. And we're like, oh, well, that's okay. But, you know, that makes sense because their mom left them when they were 15 or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's like, you know what? There's no more time to be a victim. There's no more time to sit around and say, oh, this happened. And so poor me. No, that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
You know, your childhood is gone, so why would you waste any, and this is another thing I say to people, if it was so horrible then, why are you living it now, right?
Wow.
Why are you letting it take
wow.
over your now?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what you're doing.
Right.
So for me, it's absolutely about taking personal responsibility and saying, I made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the first person to say I've made mistakes,
mm-hmm.
but you know what? I learned from them. I've forgiven myself. I've asked for forgiveness from the people I've hurt,
mm-hmm.
and I've decided to not let that weigh me down.
Right.
And I think that that's really powerful. In everybody's life when they make that choice.
Yeah, that is very powerful. And I think it's helping people become aware that they can make that choice because, as you were just saying, society does tend to coddle those people. And I don't, you know, I hope that doesn't come across as harsh to anybody listening, but it does tend to say, like you're saying, well, of course, you know, you had an alcoholic parent, you're exposed to drugs, you're abused, so of course you're not going to be a functional adult. But what you're saying is that the adult has to make that decision to let go of their childhood and decide to move forward and stop being a victim.
Well, absolutely. And it's easy to stay in that cycle. I mean, I have an older sister and a younger sister. They're in that same cycle.
Oh, wow.
It's like you would not believe how mirrored their lives are to my childhood as far as, like, the lights being shut off, the evictions, the homelessness,
wow.
the abuses, you know, the way they treat their children, everything. It's almost it's mind-blowing when I walk into their house and it's that same situation. So for me, it comes down to, you know, it's easier that way. That's what they know, and they feel like, you know, it's sad to me because I think everyone has this great potential, and life is such an amazing thing, and so much time is wasted on the poor me, or why isn't my life the way I want it, and I don't have the things that I want, and the ego takes over, and it just, to me, it's just like stand up, take personal responsibility, forgive yourself, forgive others, and then start taking the action steps to get to where you want to be, because we all deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
There's greatness in everybody, no matter what you've done or who you've been. Mm-hmm. You know, you have right now to own that,
mm-hmm.
and it's just time to step up and do it.
Oh,
for
man.
Everybody.
I could stop the interview right there. You just said it. That is a beautiful sentiment, and I agree with you. Everybody has the potential, and everybody is born into greatness. They just need to step into that role. And that's very telling and very interesting about your sisters. Do you have a sense of why you were different? I don't know if that's a tough question or not, but...
No. You know, I think that what it came down to was I just didn't want to struggle. You know, I don't want to struggle. I don't want to be unhappy. I crave happiness. Like, people will tell me I'm too optimistic. I've been told that several times, and I'll say, there's no such thing.
Right.
I realized at a young age that life is so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life comes and goes in the blink of an eye. And to me, I'm not trading my 24 hours to sit around and be miserable. And when I'm having a bad day, because, you know, I wake up, and we wake up angry sometimes, that happens to everybody,
mm-hmm.
or we face a stressful situation, and it's all in how I want to respond to it. And to me, I say to myself, I'll say, I have 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What am I willing to give up? Because I'm not getting this back.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I willing to give up? And to me, I'm not willing to give it up to sit around and feel sorry for myself and watch Jerry Springer and just be sad. You know, I'm going to use it to my advantage, and I'm going to live it to the fullest, because when I go to bed at night, mm-hmm. I want to know that I spent that the best way that I could.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that shifts my mood, because, like I said, I don't want to waste any time.
No, you don't. And I don't imagine anybody does. And I think if, you know, we were to talk to your sisters or other people in that kind of a situation, they would say that they want happiness and they want a better life and they don't want to struggle, but you used the word previously, familiarity. So they're familiar with that lifestyle. And and even though it's horrible, it's comfortable for them on some level because it's familiar, right?
Yeah, but, you know, they have the choice. And that's what I've told them. I said, you have the choice to live however you want. Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that people should go out because they're unhappy with their job and quit their job tomorrow. But I'm saying, if you want to make a change in your life, and this goes for anybody in any situation, then you have to take the initiative to start the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means that you're unhappy in your relationship, then you need to list the things you're settling for and the way you want to change them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell people that we settle for so much and we think it's no big deal, like just like the little things around your house that you
mm-hmm.
settle for.
Yeah.
Well, make a list of those, because that, you know, all of your life reflects, you know, you reflect from the inside out. And so if you're sitting around settling in a relationship or a job or your house or whatever it is, then that is reflecting out on you, and it actually takes a toll on your self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
So the important thing to do is you can take baby steps. I encourage people to take baby steps. I don't ever tell people, you know, just go quit your job and leave your husband, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no, I think you should take the little steps
mm-hmm.
to get to where you want to be. Make a list and do a step a month, a step a week. Whatever works for you, you know, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a process. And once you get moving, though, you start feeling empowered and
mm-hmm.
you start changing. And that's what really changed for me, was I started learning self-worth. People always ask me, well, what did you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started learning how to love myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest thing. And people say, you know, oh, whatever. No, it's not just talk. It's true.
Uh-huh.
Because when I grew up, I had no sense of self-worth. I didn't think I was worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was living the life that complemented what I thought I was worth.
Mm-hmm.
And as I learned not to settle and learned to love myself and that I was worth something, everything changed in my life. And I'm talking down to the friends I was around, my
mm-hmm.
house, my relationship with my husband, my children, everything changed
mm-hmm.
for the better in a positive way.
Yeah.
And so that's really important too for people.
Yeah. So what are some of the first steps to learning to love yourself?
The first thing I did was, and I taped the word "I love you" on the bathroom mirror. I honestly did this, and I looked at it, and I looked at myself, and I said, "I know, it's so funny."
No, I do the same thing. That's why I'm laughing.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I have paper up all over, and yeah,
yeah. It makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
You know what you're feeding your mind every day. And I would look in the mirror, and at first it would come up with all sorts of garbage, you know, all these things that I did, and I had to start saying, "I forgive you. I love you." Finding something positive, like, "Oh, I like the way your hair looks today. I like, you know." Something, you open the door for a stranger today. You have to find those little positive things that you're doing to shift your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really what I did. And then I just started making more positive choices. I started reading what I was paying attention to, what I was feeding my mind and my body and my spirit. And that made a huge difference too. And I just, you know, I'm a very determined person. Like once I get something in my head, I'm very powerful that way. To me, that's the way I see myself.
Yeah.
And so I wanted a better life. I didn't want to be unhappy and broke and struggling and hoping that I could pay my bills every week and hoping that, you know, I would get along with my spouse for a week. I didn't want to live like that. I wanted this positive, happy experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the only way to get it was to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I decided to do and still continue to do every single day of my life.
Yeah, that's great. I like what you're saying about the baby steps, the little things, and as you're saying, looking in the mirror, and if you really can't think of it, you know, my hair looks nice today. Because it is all those little things stack, and you were alluding to that earlier, is that it's momentum, and once you have a few successes, they stack, and a person begins to move out of that place of self-deprecation into a place of self-love,
yeah.
Little by little.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't,
absolutely,
as you're saying, where you wake up one day and go, "I love myself," you know. And what I also enjoyed what you're saying is that it's still an ongoing process. That it isn't. It's
absolutely.
I liken it to getting into physical shape. You know, you don't get into physical shape and go, "Hey, I'm there," and then stop working out because you're going
right.
to lose it. So, you know, you get yourself into a good mental state where you're powerful, feeling empowered, moving towards your goals, and it's just, as you're saying, a daily practice. So do you have a morning routine that you go through to kind of set yourself up for the day, set yourself up for success?
Well, I actually, at night, as I go to bed every single night, I definitely set my intentions for the next day. You know, like, first I'm so, you know, in gratitude for everything that happened today, for my kids, for my spouse, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I do that every single night, and then I'll set my intentions for the next day. Like, I intend to do this and do this and do this. Mm-hmm. And then when I wake up in the morning, a lot of times I'm set up in that mind frame.
Wonderful.
But if I'm not, I pop on Facebook, and my Facebook's full of positive, inspiring people.
Uh-huh.
And I get a little boost from that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I have these five amazing daughters that I live with every day who are positive and happy, and they're like, you know, they're ready to go when they get up in the morning. And that also inspires me to go after it and just enjoy my day.
Yeah.
But, you know, like our family, there's been negative experiences in our family that's mm-hmm. really shifted how I interpret life too. You know, like mm-hmm. I'm not going to take it for granted
right.
because that's the most foolish thing you can do in the world is to expect to have tomorrow, in my
yeah.
opinion.
No, you're right.
And I was doing an interview with this guy, and he said, you know, he's like, if you're 35 years old, which is what I am, I'm 35 years old, he's like, and you live until 70,
mm-hmm.
he's like, you would only have 35 summers left to enjoy, right? Like, that's like a smack in the face.
Wow.
It's like a wake up call, right?
Wow,
That was mind-blowing. I was like,
what?
You know, like,
yeah, you just shifted me right there, okay.
Yeah. I mean, is that not enough to get people to be living it? You know,
yeah.
It's so sad when you ask people how they're doing. They're like, oh, just living day to day, you know, making
yeah.
the paying the bills. And I think that no matter what situation you're in, you really can't have happiness. The problem is we expect all these outside sources to bring us this happiness instead of looking at ourselves and going, you know what? I just love being alive. I'm just grateful that I'm breathing, I'm walking, I can see. I'm just going to take these small things that I have, and that's my happiness, me. Instead, we're putting all of the responsibility on the weather, on our friends, on our spouses, on our children, you know, to make us happy. And that was huge for me when I let go of that, because I used to be the worst at that.
Uh-huh.
Like, my mom could call me up and she could get me so upset that it would ruin my entire day.
Right.
And then I would lash out at my husband and my daughters,
uh-huh.
and the whole environment would just be toxic and just negative. And because, you know, I let her control my happiness.
Right.
Now I realize when she calls me up and she's in a negative space and she's hurting,
uh-huh.
I can only give back kindness. And that was something that I really worked on, and that's, you know, that was actually a process for me, because when people are negative to me now, I can understand that they're in a space of hurt, that there's something, it's all about them. When you're able to say, you know what, when someone's being crappy to you, it's not about you.
Right.
Hell no, it's about them and their stuff that they're going through. And all you can do is share the love. And that's why I get called too optimistic, because I will get someone calling me and they're, you know, negative, and I'll try and help them. But I can always see a silver lining, you know, like, well, you know, like, for me, that's just, it's just who I am, and I enjoy being that way, and I'm grateful to be that way. And I think that people realizing that other people are not attacking them, it's all within them, that other person can free you. It really can free you.
Yeah, absolutely it can. And you're totally right. I mean, what's going on has to do with the other person. And you gave a good example of when you had, we're in that space where you're absorbing the negativity from your mom, and then you're lashing out at your family. It, again, your family was receiving what you were delivering to them, but it was still all about you. It was nothing to do with them.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of the shift there. And so to get in that place where you are of being able to hear people's negativity, perhaps empathize, know where they're coming from, not absorb it, and spin it around, still keep yourself positive and happy, that's a great practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and everyone can do it. It's free.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, and that's the message, is everyone can do it. And I know that, you know, I'm passionate about empowering people with this information. You are too. And I want to talk a little bit about, you've got, I think, 5 books. So you're quite a prolific writer, I think.
I mean, have a lot to say.
Yeah, you have a lot to say, and that's great. And so the 2, I think, your most recent books, I want to talk, let's talk first about 7 Steps to Balance Your Life, because I think that when I was reading the review of it, I haven't read the book, but it seemed like a very kind of an easy read. These are the 7 steps. So talk a little bit about the book and what people could expect to get from that.
Well, Life Chat, 7 Steps to Balance Your Life, is right to the point. Like, I'm not a fluff writer at all about putting, you know, I write like I talk. I'm very adamant about giving people real tools that they can use in their daily living. You know, I don't want to fill you with all the fluff or stuff. I just want you to get to the basics and be able to use it. And so for Life Check, that book is really about action. It's about looking at the true you. You know, the first chapter is called Rock the Boat, and it's about discovering who you are as a person without all the labels, without all, you know, all of the stuff, just you when you look in that mirror. And then, you know, it's about finding your self-worth. And then the second chapter goes on to help you to leave your baggage, start to forgive yourself and let go of that. And then, you know, raise the bar, start thinking of yourself more, stop setting those limits. You know, it just goes on. Each step is very important to the next, because at the end, you know, it talks about your 24 hours that we were talking about and how you have your day. But throughout it, there's a making it happen plan, there's action steps, there's goals. And throughout each chapter, there's a little life check. And these are like kind of thinking moments where you can look at your life and go, oh yeah, when was the last time my spirit was on fire? You know, when was the last time I felt like a failure, so I quit doing what I was working towards? You know, so it's really super powerful for me. Like, I really wanted to give people something, because I know there's so many of these kind of personal development books out there, but they're so big and they're so long and they're so drawn out and they're so repetitive. I wanted to give people something like, cut to the chase. Here you go. Start using it today. You know, and that was the point with Life Check, and it's really done that for a lot of people, so I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, I like that you're saying it straight and to the point, because I agree, a lot of the self-help books, the self-improvement books, they get a little fluffy, and I think people that are on the cusp of wanting to make change but still kind of hesitant can get lost in a lot of reading, can read book after book after book, and it's just at that point still theory. They haven't made that commitment to change, and it sounds like Life Check is a book that helps people who have committed, then these are the steps you need to take, and it seems like they're in a nice order. You know, discover who you are as a person, that forgive yourself, that keeps coming up over and over again in our conversation. And it's so important. And I did not have nearly the background that you have, but everybody has their challenges. And I had my version of my challenges and my rock bottom. And that was one of the things I had to do, was forgive myself for who I was in that situation, who I let myself be, because I allowed a lot of things to happen, you know? So that's important to, forgive yourself. And so that seems like a very great, practical, boots-on-the-ground kind of a book.
Yes, definitely.
Pick up. And then the other book that really caught my attention, again, was just more of the title. I loved Reshaping Reality and Creating Your Life. So is that a little bit different than Life Check, or is it the same kind of a book? So talk a little bit about what that book's about.
Well, Reshaping Reality is really about, shifting, looking at all these different aspects of your life. Like each chapter focuses on a different situation, like one's like on happiness, one's on motivation, things like that. And it's really, basically putting it out on the table, like how we get stuck in these happiness and how we're looking for other people to create our own happiness, like we were just talking about a little bit ago. And then at the end of the chapter, there's three actual steps that you can implement into your daily living. I'm all about that. You know, I'm all about giving people real stuff, free real stuff that you can do,
right?
Because too many times people talk at us instead of with us. Mm-hmm. And that's not how I want my books to come across.
Mm-hmm.
And so Reshaping Reality is really about that, you know, creating your life, breaking down to the bare minimum,
mm-hmm.
shedding everything and starting over and reconstructing this amazing life of greatness that you deserve and that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, sometimes we forget that and we need reminded. And that's really the direction I take with all my books and speaking and writing and everything that I do.
And we all do need those reminders, because it is.
Yeah.
This isn't set up. I'm hoping that society is moving in this direction and people are becoming empowered with this information. But right now, it is still the way is to, you know, be a victim. This happened to me. This happened to me. And so we all need those reminders to, you know,
right.
You own your life. You own your choices, and you deserve happiness and amazing greatness in life. So.
Yeah, and sometimes people just don't know the little tools and little steps that can help them. And so for me, writing these books and being straightforward and direct. And to the point, like you said, it doesn't give people an opportunity to get lost in the writing.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them an opportunity to start really acting and taking the steps and really changing their lives.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the best thing that I could ever give to anybody.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, we're very close to getting done with time here. I want to give listeners your website. So your books can be found on the website, your website, correct?
Yeah, and they can also Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of those places. They're all over the place.
Okay, good. So we'll start with your website, which is robinmarvel.com. And listeners, it's robinmarvel.com. So you can pop on there and learn more about Robin and a little more about her story. And then the two books that we talked about, Life Check and then Reshaping Reality and Creating Your Life. Sounds like they're available all over. You have like three other books, which can also be seen on the website if listeners want to take a review of those. So lots of great information. And Robin, I just have to thank you so much for spending, you know, this few minutes with me and my listeners. I am just inspired by your story and certainly inspired by what you're doing and your attitude. I mean, I can tell you're just upbeat and you're just up to attack every day and get the most out of you can, and your perspective on I have less than 35 summers left, so I'll just put that out there. I've got about 25 if I live to 75, so that's good for me to have in my mind. So, again, just thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you taking your time to spend with me.
Awesome. Great. And listeners, just be sure to tune in next week.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network. Powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.